Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, Phil Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio today. As we address one of the most historic moments in the Western world, in fact, in the history of the world, this marks one of the most important days in which the final nations in the Western world and the developed world have tipped over to a pro-abortion stance. Just, 3 hours ago, it happened in Stormont up in Northern Ireland. Friends, yesterday was the deadline for the government of Northern Ireland to reconvene if it was to prevent the last nation in the Western world to capitulate to legalized abortion. Pro-lifers made one last-ditch attempt to pass the Unborn Child Act of 2019, but the Speaker of the House, Robin Newton, refused to allow the proceeding given that the Sinn Féin members of the Sinn Féin party did not show up and they could not elect a new speaker for the assembly as a technicality. But it was the UK Parliament's decision back in July to provide access to abortion in Northern Ireland, and there was a potential of the Northern Ireland Parliament putting a kibosh to that, but it did not happen, and thus the final nation tipped over into a pro-abortion stance. New Zealand has pretty much done that already by a single vote. Another vote's coming up, I believe, in just a day or two. So both New Zealand and Northern Ireland, last nations in the Western world to tip over to a pro-abortion stance. And what comes to mind, Bill, is Psalm 59, verse 2, save me from bloodthirsty men. Awake to help me, O God, and behold you therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. And I think that's the prayer right now, Bill, is just, you know, God is in control. God is sovereign. They can only shake their fists in the face of God for so long. They tried that at Babel. They've tried it with some of these big empires over the history of the world. It just doesn't work. Eventually, God will come and God will judge these nations. It will happen.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
He's not going to be mocked.
That's right. So, friends, as of 3 hours ago, the whole Western world, the whole developed world, the first world has now legalized abortion. That's all of Europe, all of Asia, all of Western world, all of the post-Christian countries. These are really the richest nations in the world legalizing abortion, because if you look at the map still, Bill, you're going to find that Africa, South America, and the poorest nations in the world are still sort of hanging on to something of a pro-life stance.
Well, they're just backwards, aren't they? They haven't been educated.
Well, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, I think it's the wealth. What was it that Francis Schaeffer would say? Is the modern worldview is all about personal peace
and prosperity.
Prosperity, affluence, right. And that's, I think, that is the worldview. I think Francis Schaeffer nailed it when he said it's all about personal peace and affluence. That's what people are going for. That's the reason why, 85 nations around the world, Asia, Soviet Union, North America, Europe, have turned over to killing babies. And it's a reversal of the Christian world and life view that we have seen impacting the world over 2,000 years. Huge changes going on around the world today. New Zealand is about to collapse to allow for abortion on demand. As I mentioned, the government's bill passed its first reading in August by a vote of 94 to 23. So 94 in favor of killing kids, 23 against. And that second reading, I believe, is this week. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack also in studio as we come to you on a very historic day in which Northern Ireland has tipped over to pro-abortion after about 1,600 years of the influence of the Christian world and life view, thanks to St. Patrick, who was very active in chasing the snakes out of Ireland, that is the demons out of Ireland, putting an end to slavery as best as he could with some of his writings, and of course putting an end to infanticide. It was Iceland that eliminated abortion, infanticide in 1000 AD, so it's been about 1,000 years in which the Christian world and life view has had a huge influence upon Europe and North America. There's some interesting eschatological conclusions here. Not one Christian church in any country has been able to stop the deception of the nations on this point. It's interesting that Satan somehow has been able to deceive the nations since roughly 1967 on this point, on abortion on demand.
Yeah, he may have driven the snakes, the demons, out of Ireland, but they're back. They landed in San Francisco.
They're back. They landed in San Francisco.
Yeah, where the mayor, London Breed, and Supervisor Valley Brown just announced this week that they're going to ban any business, work trips, travel, or business with companies in 22 states that have, quote, restrictive abortion laws, end quote.
Yeah, and which means that America is a nation divided against itself.
Right.
No question about that. And in fact, the last 2 years, we've seen some of the most radical division in this nation that we have seen. But, you know, Satan has deceived the nations on abortion, on homosexuality, on secular godless education. Even college education has been very much gender blended by the incorporation of Title IX restrictions over the last 30 to 40 years as well. Also this year, 99.4% of box office receipts belong to movies with a secular worldview. About 0.6% of box office receipts have gone to Christian movies with a biblical worldview, about $54 million, according to my last estimate. The Christian worldview has lost considerable influence over the last 40 years. But let me give you some history on this, folks. The influence of Jesus in the world is undeniable through the centuries. The Didache in 100 A.D. said, quote, "Do not murder a child by abortion or kill a newborn infant." The Council of Trullo on 692 A.D. announced, quote, "Those who give drugs by procuring abortion and those who receive poisons to kill the fetus are subjected to the penalty of murder." That's 692 A.D. As I mentioned, 1000 A.D. Iceland outlawed infanticide or abortion, and that was reversed, I believe, in 1971, if I'm not mistaken. Iceland reversed that position some 970 years after the Christian influence hit the land of Iceland. In 1803, or prior to 1803, in the 1600s, William Blackstone wrote, "If a woman is quick with a child and by a potion or otherwise kills the child in her womb, this, though not murder, was by the ancient law homicide or manslaughter, but at present it is not looked upon in quite so atrocious a light, though it remains a very heinous misdemeanor." That's William Blackstone, who's very famous for his law books in the 17th century. Then in 1803, let me read from the English Ellenberg Act, quote, "To procure an abortion of a female after quickening is murder, to be punishable with death." So those were the laws that were retained by a Christian Western world for what, Bill? About 1,400 years. That's a long time.
It is a long time.
It's a long time. Lots of influence. You know, and I still think there's something of a Christian conscience in America. Maybe not so much in Scotland or Ireland or England or Iceland, but it does seem that there is a Christian conscience left in places like Kentucky, Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we have the shadow of the memory of Christianity. We don't have the memory of Christianity. We're living in the shadow of the memory. But there is a possibility that it could be revived.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
And there is the distinct possibility that we're seeing a revival happen in those states and many other places.
All of this shift in Europe, Asia, around the world, for instance, occurred in just the last 140 years or so, since Karl Marx. It turns out Karl Marx really is the source of this. It's interesting, he acknowledged himself to be possessed by Satan at one point in his writings. And I think Satan may have had some influence upon Karl Marx. I deal with that in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. But, friends, the decline around the whole world actually began in the Soviet Union. I don't know if anybody knew that. But up until the 19th century, abortion, you know, was very much against the law. In fact, there's a huge development on this in my book, America and God's Providence. I deal with Anthony Comstock and his Comstock Laws and the investigations he did on the very first abortionist that crept into America in the 1870s, shortly after the Civil War. But it was really the Russians. It was the Marxists that brought it into America from Germany in the 1860s. But ultimately, Russia grabbed onto this and ran with it in the 1920s. In October of 1920, the Bolsheviks made abortion legal with the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic with their decree on women's health care. It's a terrible, terrible law. It was unleashed upon the Ukraine in 1921. So a year later, it came to Ukraine, and then it hit the remainder of the Soviet Union, including the Eastern Bloc nations in the 1950s. The Soviet Union's revolutionary leadership saw women's access to safe legal abortion both as an essential component for women's liberation. The policy was Marxist, it was feminist, it was demonic to the very core. And it turns out, you know, this sort of feminist, Marxist, destructive influence upon the family was destructive to the entire civilization. I think to this day, the Russians are beginning to realize the destruction that this demonic policy had upon the Soviet Union. It destroyed the family. It literally destroyed their conception of life. It destroyed their society. To this day, the Soviet Union has the highest abortion rate in the world, with, I think, the exception of Greenland. Those are the nations with the highest abortion rates in the world. So Soviet Union was cursed by Karl Marx, utterly cursed by his feminism, utterly cursed by his egalitarianism, utterly cursed by Karl Marx's commitment to kill babies, to destroy the family. And he says that. He says that in the Communist Manifesto. He says his purpose is to, number one, destroy home education, replace home education with social, and then secondly, to destroy the family. So those were his objectives in the Communist Manifesto, and that's exactly what he attempted to do through the Soviet Union. And so this policy, his pro-abortion policy, came 1920 by the Bolsheviks. This is when it was first unleashed upon the whole world. It destroyed the family, it destroyed the nation, and it embedded a very deep and horrible curse upon the Ukraine and upon Russia. Now, England began to soften on abortion in the 1930s. Now, it was right around the Raging Twenties. Do you remember the Raging Twenties, in which Margaret Sanger was active? There were other very, very, very liberal socialist social workers doing work in England at the time. In fact, that's actually where Margaret Sanger was mentored. Did you know that? She went to England in the 1920s. She was mentored by these radicals in the 1920s, and in 1937, very interesting, England almost legalized abortion in 1937, except for one little thing that happened, and that was
some kind of conflict.
Yeah, it was World War II. God brought a severe, perhaps the most severe war ever upon the world in 1937, and that delayed the destruction of England by 30 years. It delayed the destruction of England by 30 years, Bill. They did not destroy themselves until 1967 when they legalized abortion. So it really delayed the legalization of abortion for that nation for about 30 years. Well, friends, Japan, of course, largely influenced by Margaret Sanger, became the highest abortion rate in the world in 1955. Margaret Sanger, very, very influential in Japan, that brought about the Eugenics Protection Act of 1948. And it was liberalized in 1949. By 1952, there were all restrictions to abortion lifted in Japan. And by 1955, Japan became the biggest baby killer in the world, killing 55% of their babies. And to this day, some estimate that two-thirds of Japanese women have had an abortion to this day.
Wow.
So the Pandora's box then opened by 1960s, 70s. Okay, so you had Japan, you had the Eastern Bloc, you had the Soviet Union, and that was pretty much it until 1967. But after 1967, kaboom, Pandora's box opened wide. And England, California, Colorado, Republican governors Reagan, John Love, forever remembered as bringing this curse down upon the United States in legalizing abortion in Colorado and California. That's 1967. 1967, really the turning point in America in many, many ways. And then 1973, of course, Roe v. Wade. And since then, since 1967, over 52 years, 99% of the world turned towards abortion, and the nations were deceived in just about 52 years. All right, Bill. Well, that's 2,000 years in, what was that, 8 minutes?
Not bad.
tried to knock out 2,000 years in 8 minutes. The influence of the Lord Jesus Christ over 1,900 years, and then the influence of Karl Marx over the last 100 years. And friends, okay, so Satan has had free reign. Okay, so Satan has had a fair amount of influence in deceiving the institutions, the universities, the media, the major institutions, the nations that govern the world today. All right, so how shall we then live? Bill, I want to end on this. How shall we then live? Here, number one, just what we just said, Bill. I think we need to focus more on the states, the local communities, than the federal government. Strategy-wise, I mean, here's what comes to my mind. Remember David went up against Goliath. But what did he say? He said, you know, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I think there's something to be humble and take on the battle before us. I ran for U.S. Senate, but then I got to thinking maybe I should run for, you know, local county commissioner. Maybe I should work in my own backyard. Maybe we should work more on a state level than to try to, you know, bite off more than we can chew.
Right. There is that old saying that all politics is local.
Yeah.
All politics is local. You start, you know, and it, you look at the spread of the gospel and what Jesus said. He said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. Too often we as Christians focus on the uttermost parts,
yeah,
and we forget about the right here, right now, the, yeah, local. We're creating, in a sense, donut hole communities,
mm,
where we are, mm-hmm, focused out there, mm, rather than right here. And that's true in the political realm as well.
Yeah.
It's true in the areas of morals in politics, such as the abortion issue, such as homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Those issues need to be dealt with locally,
mm-hmm,
and then it spreads to the national level,
yeah,
rather than from the top down.
Yeah, I think that's the strategy that we as Christians need to focus upon. Another verse that came to my mind as I was thinking, how shall we then live? 2 Corinthians 10, we got 4 through 6. Now, first it says, you know, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God.
And take every thought captive.
Take every thought captive and so forth, right? But, mm-hmm, most people forget verse 6. It says, and avenge all disobedience when your obedience has been perfected. So sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, I was younger, I said, Mom, I'm going to run out there and clean up the world, Mom. I'm going to go clean up the world. And Mom would say,
start with your room.
Yeah, why don't you go upstairs and,
yeah,
start on your room, son.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the question. How in the world can we ban third trimester abortions when there's a 73% use of abortifacients on the part of evangelicals?
Right.
You follow me there? There's a consistency issue here. There's a failure in the Christian world. There's a undermining of the principle itself by our tendency to go after the ugly, the more obvious manifestations. But we've never really signed up for the basic principle. In other words, Bill, is there any real difference between slaughtering a child in his eighth month versus on his eighth day? Is there any real difference, principle-wise?
No.
There really isn't, is there?
No.
And I just wonder if maybe Christians should clean up their own backyard before they run out there. And maybe our leaders, our pastors, should say, you know, we should be less concerned at this point about illegalizing third trimester abortions as long as there's such a high percentage of us that are involved in the use of abortifacients.
I mean, I'd ask our listeners to try to recall when the last time they heard the issue of abortion preached upon in their churches.
So the pastors aren't even getting to that topic.
No, and again, we do have limited time. Okay, you got 52 Sundays out of the year, and maybe 50 of those, and then you do have a pro-life Sunday. It may be mentioned in the bulletin, but it needs to be addressed. These issues, these cultural issues, are moral issues that need to be addressed. We need to speak truth to power. We need to speak truth in grace. You know, the First Amendment was written for those who are speaking in dissent. And Christians always speak in dissent to the culture. The culture doesn't want to hear truth. We should be speaking the truth about homosexuality, about abortion, about the governmental welfare system. We should be educating Christians in a biblical worldview. And unfortunately, that's not happening too often in churches. Or often enough.
And I guess the question that I want to ask is, are we addressing, you know, the fundamental sins in our own lives first? Are we going after these things first? Here's one that comes to my mind. Do we really want a world where homosexuality is back in the closet by law, but 90% of the male population, including Christians, are still hiding out doing porn in the closet? Are you with me there? I mean,
yeah.
There's a consistency issue here.
Right.
What we need are hearts regenerated. We need minds renewed. We need men and women revived by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, loving God and loving one another sacrificially as Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. So I guess what I'm saying is we just need to be sure that we're embracing the fundamental, the basic principle, instead of always going after the most evil manifestations of it. We should ask ourselves, are we somewhat self-consistent in going after the other manifestations of these same sins in our own lives? Several of the commentators, I think it was Al Mohler and John MacArthur, interacted on Obergefell, and both of them pointed to divorce and several other, I think the use of contraceptives and abortifacients as introductory to the homosexual lifestyle. Both of them address the more fundamental issue that the Christian church in America has not been strong upon, and therefore their inconsistencies, their hypocrisies in the area of abortifacients and divorce have led to Obergefell. And unless you deal with the other, there's no sense in trying to reform the Supreme Court's decision.
Right, because we do see the world in bits and pieces, as Francis Schaeffer said. We don't see the connection between issues or among issues. And your worldview is that way to bring consistency to everything. But we cannot isolate individual issues. They are all interrelated.
It's all part of the same iceberg, is the way I like to see it. You know, there's that piece above the water, and then there's everything under the water. So, friends, again, how shall we then live consistently, may I say? Consistently, in the whole. Let's live consistently. Let's avenge all disobedience when our obedience has been perfected. And here's the other thing. I want to close on this. I ended my book Apostate this way, and I want to close this way today. As the world is killing their children, how about let's not? You know, if the world is killing, if every developed nation, if every single Western nation now has given way to the demonic agenda and is serving Satan as Satan has deceived all these institutions, if they're killing their children, let's not. That's all I'm saying. Let's adopt. Let's love children. Let's receive the children God gives us as gifts from God, as a true heritage of the Lord. And that's the way I ended this. While the rest of the world is spending their great-grandchildren into debt, we're getting out of debt, saving an inheritance for our children. While the rest of the world is trusting in government, Social Security, and the Federal Reserve System, we're trusting in God and preparing charitable systems, voluntary charitable systems, not forcible, socialist systems to help the widows and orphans ourselves. While the rest of the world euthanizing their elderly and spending their children's inheritance, our families are taking care of parents in their old age and passing inheritance from one generation to the next. While the rest of the world is aborting their kids, we're adopting our children. While the rest of the world's birth rates are imploding at a rate of 1.2, we're averaging a birth rate of 4.0 because we have hope and a vision for a future. While the rest of the world is destroying the character of their youth with toxic cultural systems and teen peer groups, we're creating our own life-nurturing cultures that conforms to God's laws. While the rest of the world is processing their kids through John Dewey's massive educational institutions controlled by powerful governments, we are opening private discipleship centers, mentoring young men, young women in faith and character, and so forth and so on. So, friends, that's it. That's it. And by God's grace, we have the freedom still. We're not inducted into some kind of a dystopian, forced, infanticide, forced abortion system that you've seen in the movies. You know, Bill, you've seen the movies, right? By the grace of God, we're not there right now.
Right. And it's interesting because Hollywood promotes the idea that man is basically good, but every movie they produce, when it looks to the future, is always dystopian rather than utopian.
Yeah.
Because they recognize that man's nature is fallen and man tends towards the evil. And although Hollywood promotes abortion, promotes homosexuality, they don't see the connection between the nature of man and what they're promoting.
Well, we thankfully have the gospel and the hope of the gospel and in reforming and redeeming and regenerating, and there's reviving that happens. And of course, you know, we need to pray. We need to ask God for his intervention, his work in our hearts, our families, our churches.
And we need to be salt and light in the culture. We need to be proclaiming truth and grace in every possible way and avenue and medium that is available to us.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I encourage you to apostate the men who destroy the Christian West. And my little book, Keep the Faith, on sexuality to get a better sense for what has happened in some of these key areas, like abortion and homosexuality. Both of those are dealt with in this key little book, Keep the Faith, on family and sexuality. Available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.